The next three shiurim are on the topic of Amira L'Nachrit. We finished our discussion of Pikuach Nefesh and the issues of medicine on Shabbos. And one of the connectors between Pikuach Nefesh and Amira L'Nachrit, the two connectors. One is that since we pass in Pikuach Nefesh is Dechuya, not Hutra, so therefore, if we can always make use of a goy, so then we should try to do that, because then the Shabbos L'Chayr will be drawn on Adei Raisa. In addition, we say that by a choyle she'ein basakana, so we're matir amir le'akom. So these halachas are halachas that are marshaled as a raya that amir le'akom is a din derabbanan. Why does one need a raya that's a din derabbanan? Because there is a mechilta that says on the pasuk kol melacha lo yosel hem, that a melacha may not be done. It's in the passive form. So the mechilta says I feel like yidei nachri. So the Rashi quotes that in Chumash, last week's parshas bo. Rashi quotes that the mechilta says that even a melacha done al yidei akum can't be done in Shabbos. That sounds like an isa deraisa. So there's a lot of literature on this mechilta. The overwhelming position of those who comment on it is that the mechilta, that at the end of the day, Amir L'Akam is a Nisa Derabbanan, and that mechilta is either an Asmachta, which is what many Rishonim say, or it's a toss that the Gra says it was a girsa, a flip in the girsa. The girsa should be leyose al yidei acherim, meaning other Jews, for you. Alvol al yidei akum zah. That's the Vilna Goyen's girsa. Obviously, when alvol can make a big difference. Alvol and Raglan made a big difference. Alvol here made a big difference. So that's the and there are numerous Rishonim who, starting with the Smag, who say that there is some Amir La'akum which sometimes will be a Din Dei Raisa. But overwhelmingly we say that Amir La'akum is an Isa Drabonim. Several years ago I heard from a shir from Rabbi Reisman, and at the end of the shir he made a comment. He said that when he was in Yeshiva, so Amir La'akum was an Isir. And then when he got older, so then he learned that Amir Akum is a heter. In other words, then I was thinking about the shurim that we give. Normally I think that the reason why Amir Akum is part of the curriculum together with Pikuach Nefesh, because the Rav has to know how you can make all your day goy. But that's what we've developed in our minds. The emes is that Amir La'akum is an Iser. That's also to ask a goy to do malacha for us. So, and Shulchan Aruch first discusses the Isurim of Amir La'akum. The first simon Hilchos Shabbos is about Suda Shabbos, Onig and Kovid Shabbos. But after that, the next three or four simonim are all about the way that the Iser of Amir La'akum plays itself out in halacha. And the halachas of Amir La'akum in the various heterim, the machines on them much later. So let's learn it this way, that the Gemara says in several places, Amir La'akum shvus, that Chazal said that a Jew cannot ask a non-Jew to do malacha for us, and the Rishonim explained this Gemara in two different ways. The Rambam says, Rambam writes, Shelo Yehei Shabbos Kalavei Neyim. That Chazal made a special din that normally, if a person does ask a goy to do something, so that's not my Iser. But when it comes to Shabbos, Chazal said, this is also a discussion amongst the Svarim, whether Amir La'akum is only by Shabbos or by other halachas as well. It seems from the Gemara that Amir La'akum is in many, many halachas as well. But Amir L'Akum Shavuos is that Chazal said that in order that Shabbos should not be taken lightly by us, that the Malachas and Gishbaruch Hu told us we can't do the Malachas. Not that we have to find a way to do Ayidei Goy. in order that Shabbos should not become should always maintain its severity in our eyes, Chazal said you can't even ask a goy. And the other approach is Rashi says in two different places, two different Mahalchim. Rashi says in Masechtas Avodah Zarah that the Iser of Amir Lo'akum is because of the Pasuk Mimtzei Chetzach of Edaber Dover. Yishai says in Nun Ches that Im Toshim Mishabbos Raglecha Aseis Chetzacha Edaber Dover, that on Shabbos we have to walk differently. Shalohei Hiluchach B'Shabbos Hiluch B'Choyl V'daber Dover Shalohei Diburcha B'Shabbos K'Diburcha B'Choyl, we have to speak differently. So one of the halachas that Chazal explained to us as part of the Iser of speaking differently on Shabbos is that we can't speak about, we can't commission malachas. To ask a goy to do malacha, that's dibur shel choyl. That you do, you don't speak about, you don't commission malachas on Shabbos. And the Rashi in Shabbos in Kufnun Gimel says because of the shlichus, that there's a din of shlichus. I can't shluchay shel adam kemoisay. So if I ask a goy to do malacha for me, so I'm doing aliday shlichus. There's a lot of discussion about what this Rashi means, and this Rashi is not just Rashi. There are several. The Ritva has a similar explanation. The Gemara says in Kuf Chaf Aleph in Shabbos that there was a fire in the Chotzer of Yosi ben Sivoy, and it was in Shabbos. So the Goyim saw there was a fire, so the Goyim came. They came from a nearby town, and they came because Yosi ben Sivoy was a tax collector. So the Goyim knew that a lot of their money, a lot of the money of the Shilton, was sitting by Yosef ben Simoy. So the Goyim are coming because they say they're either coming because it's some of their money, it's because of the king's money. And Yosef ben Simoy says, don't put it out. It's not Shabbos stick. Let it go. And the Gemara says, Nasale Neis, because Baruch Hu did a Neis, it rained, and the fire went out. So just like whenever something happens in Shabbos and you can't call up a Rav or write to a Rav, so you have to find after Shabbos if you do the right thing or not. So after Shabbos, the Chazal were discussing this situation. Did he do the right thing or not? So the after Shabbos, Yosef ben Simoy sent money to every single guy and to pay him off for their trouble. And after Shabbos, Chazal said that Yosef didn't have to send them home. He could have said, whoever wants to gain from this can come forward, can put out the money, can put out the fire. He could have said that I'm not going to, I can't tell you to put it out because there's no pikuach nefesh. But I don't have to say don't put it out. I can say kol mi shiroitz alito, whoever wants to can come forward. So Chaz the Ritva explains, because once I indicate that it's in the best interest of the goy to put it out, all right, but I don't need you to put it out, kol mi shiroitz, I'm not going to get in your way. So then when the goy puts it out, that nafshoy, he's putting it up because he wants to secure some money there. He wants to save the king's money. He's not doing it as a shlichus Yosef. As long as Yosef Stimoy doesn't say it's a good thing for me to do. So then you see from that Ritva, he says that's his lashon, because therefore you see they're not acting as a shliach of Yosef and Simoy. So the Iser of Mir L'Akum is a din of shlichus. We don't halacha l'maisa nowadays, whenever there's a fire, we assume rachman al zanat tukach nefesh, because we live in such close quarters and we know that with one significant gust of wind, the fire can travel and can endanger people. So we always see a fire the way that we live nowadays is not just the hefsed moment. We see a fire as pikuach nefesh, so therefore we are more proactive. But in that situation where Yosef and Simoy lived, maybe there were no other people around at all. He lived out in a place where it would just burn to the ground and it wouldn't affect anybody else. Whatever it was, he made he understood that it was not going to be pikuach nefesh, a hefsed moment, and therefore he was he couldn't even do Milan Achri. Milan Achri is also. But you see from that Ridva, that Ridva also accepts the idea of Rashi. That is Mishum Shlichus. Exactly how do you understand Shlichus? Usually we say, Ein Shlichus Marvera. So, Ein Shlich Liakum. That's better, Ein Shlich Liakum. So, how could I be held responsible for, or at least how could I say it's usur for me to ask a guy to do malacha for me? Because number one, Ein Shlich Liakum, and Ein Shlichus Marvera. So that's what leads there. So on that Rashi, there is a very significant discussion amongst the Svarim. There are Svarim that point out that Yesh Shliach La'akum L'dvar Aveira. That, in fact, we paskin when it comes to Ribbis, we paskin that if a person lends money by Ribbis Al Yidei Akum, that the Jew is Oyver and Iser of Ribbis. So the Achronim point out that's the Machloikis. According to Rashi, apparently, Rashi understood that when Chazal did say that a Jew cannot, Chazal did introduce the concept of Shlichus for a Jew, for a Goy, for a Averus. Ein Shliach Liakum, but Chazal said that Dvar Averus there is. And the other Rishonim hold that, like the Rambam, for example, who says it's not a din of shlichus, shlihei shavas kalbeineya. So they hold that for certain averus chamuris like ribbis, Chazal introduced the idea of shlichus. But if it's not an avera chamura, they did not introduce the idea of shlichus. So yoytzi mikol zeh. This is a. Seems from the mostly Achronim. What I just quoted today is a Pesach Dvir, says that in Ribbis. Beis Meir, one of the famous Achronim, Chasam Sofer usually quote, they all say that when Rashi introduced the idea of Shlichos, he was not introducing the idea of Shlichos Midei Raisa. He was introducing Shlichos Midei Rabbanan. And he was saying that Chazal introduced the idea of Shlichos in the when it comes to Shabbos, because Shabbos is a chomer, the Beis Meir says, and the Chasam Sofer loved this word of the Beis Meir. He quotes it. He says that shlichus could not be a deraisa dikin din in Shabbos, because in Shabbos the din is it has to have menucha, it has to desist from melacha. So to commission melacha to be done al yidei somebody else, that's not a violation of my menucha. I can rest. I'm doing nothing. I can effect numerous malachas, but I haven't kentai menucha. The Beis Meir says that the idea of ein shliach that Chazal introduced shlichus for averus. That's when something terrible is going to happen. So, for example, ribbis. Ribbis is a bad thing b'chlal. So therefore, Chazal introduced shlichus. But when it comes to Shabbos, the main thing is that I should have menucha. So that some malacha gets done by a day goy, what does that impact on my menucha? So yetsim mikol zeh is that there is a minority view that there is that Amir al-Akum is a day raisa, but it is a very, very scant view, and that view is limited, according to Smug, to situations where the guy is working in my place with my stuff. Very, very limited. I was surprised a few weeks ago that it was one of the great posts in America and discussing a business situation, how to organize a certain business that was taken over by majority Jewish stock shareholders, and how to organize it so that there won't be a problem of Amir al-Akum and Shabbos with his business. And he felt very strongly that one has to be choshesh for those shittas that hold that there is a deraisa element in Amir al-Akum. I was very surprised by that. But he's a very significant poysik, and it's interesting that he took that view. But usually one finds the way that one sees in the Svarim is that we understand that Amir al-Akum is an Isur D'Rabbanan, that the Nisa the Rabbanan that Chazal imposed, either because of Davar Dovar or because they imposed a din of Shlichus by Dvarim Chamurim, and Shabbos is one of those situations. And the way the Alter Rebbe says in Shulchan Aruch, he says that his nusach is that Shaloite Shabbos Kalav Einav, just the Shabbos should not be taken lightly. Chazal introduced a din of Shlichus. That's the way the Alter Rebbe sees it. What's the significance of formulating it either as Shlichus as Davar Dovar? So this many Svarim point out, or Chasholim points out, that if you view the Iser of Mira L'Akum as a din of Davar Dovar, so that means I cannot commission anything on Shabbos. Even if I'm commissioning on Shabbos for a goy to do Melachah Matoy Shabbos. And if you understand that Amir La'akum is an Iser of Shlichos, in other words, that Chazal introduced the idea of Shlichos Min Rabbanan Mishum Chaymer Din of Shabbos, so that means I cannot ask a goy to do Melachah Erev Shabbos if the Melachah will be executed on Shabbos. And that's not going to be possible. We pass in both. We pass on an Erev Shabbos, I can't organize for goy to do Melachah on Shabbos. And we pass in that on Shabbos, I cannot commission a goy to do Melachah even with Tzoy Shabbos. Obviously, if I commission a goy to do Melachah on Shabbos, to be executed on Shabbos, so I'm in violation of Amir Lakum for both reasons. But that's the significance of what happens if a person commissions a goy to do Melachah on Shabbos, but the goy doesn't do it. So I would be in violation of Davar Dovar if I commissioned on Shabbos, but I'm not in violation of Shlichus, because it never happened. So those are the various nafkaminas as to exactly how we understand the Iser of Amira La'akum. The Iser of Amira La'akum is an Iser Chomer in of itself, and that's indicated by the fact that Chazal introduced several chumras around the Iser of Amir Le'akum. One is, the as we said, the Iser to commission it, and then the halacha is that if a goy does malacha for a Jew, so the Jew is not allowed to benefit from that malacha till after Shabbos Bechdei Sheyasu. In other words, Chazal and Paskin, Chazal v'misakin, that in order that I would not commission a goy to do malacha for me, or in order that a goy should not do malacha for me because he knows I want him to do it, I can't be nana from it. Some of the achronim say that's a gzera. I can't benefit from the malacha in order that I won't commission the goy to do it. So some, there are some that say that indicates that some day rice is a component. But the fascist means that this is an Iser Chomer, and sometimes with an Iser Chomer, Chazal say they did make Gzera L'Gzera. Could be they did it Kulachal Gzeri. Others say that the Prima Gadim says we do find every so often. Prima Gadim is a Reis Vengel, has a Ha'ora, that a Din de Rabbanon that was made as a Suyag sometimes has a Suyag to it as well. So sometimes the Chazal allowed themselves Gzera L'Gzera when the original din was a gzera. So if the Iser of Amir al-Akum is a gzera, so I shouldn't come to the Malacha, then we would understand why there is a suyag. But however you understand that, you see it's an Iser Chomer. And then Chazal said, in addition, if a guy is doing Malacha for me, I have to be Mocha, I have to get in the way, I have to stop him from doing it. And Once I've been mocha, I don't have to go usually further than that. But in addition, we find that Chazal introduced numerous halachas of maris ayin when it comes to mir li'akum, and they took those gezeiros further than most halachas of maris ayin, and that is what the Shulchan Aruch opens up Hilchas Shabbos. Shulchan Aruch opened up Hilchos Shabbos with Amir La'akum because the most common form of Amir La'akum is Erev Shabbos, how do I keep my business going on Shabbos? So Shulchan Aruch starts with Erev Shabbos and then goes on to Kiddush and so on and so forth. So therefore the first simanim Shulchan Aruch after preparing for Shabbos, or after Onin Kovet Shabbos, even before preparing for Shabbos, is organizing one's business on Shabbos, which theoretically could be done Aydei Akum. So Chazal said, but you can't do Aydei Akum. Chazal distinguished between different kinds of or arrangements that we have with the Goyim. If our arrangement with the Goy is a Schir Yoyim, in other words, that I hire the Goy to do work for me. So that's the Isur Milachim. So I can't do that. I cannot hire a Goy to do on Erev Shabbos to work for me on Shabbos. That's what we've been speaking about. That's the Gemara says, that's the classic case of a Merchatz, where I have a Shvitz. I want the Shvitz to be open on Shabbos as well. Don't want to lose my Shabbos clients. So I have the Goy do it. I don't go into the Shvitz. I don't heat up the water on Shabbos. I don't charge the patrons on Shabbos. The Goy does it. No, but that's a Goy doing it as part of my Shlichus. So that is the Isur of Irli Akum. So and in that situation where the Goy is my employee, he's doing it primarily for my benefit. So that's awesome. Chazal introduced another Isur. They said that the person, if a Goy does Malacha for me in Shabbos, I can't even get Schar Shabbos. I can't even not only benefit from his Malacha, I can't even get the revenue from Shabbos. But then Chazal said, what about the case of where a sharecropper, where the Goy is supposed to work the entire property, and at the end of the season, or even on a much more frequent basis, he gets part of the product. He mines my property for me. He takes a third of the revenue. I get two thirds of the revenue, and that's the deal. So then the guy is working that in Nafshoi. He's working because he wants the benefit. I didn't tell him to go in Shabbos. I told him mind the field, take care of the field. So the halach is that if it's that since fields are usually done through the arrangement of sharecropping, so therefore there's no marasai. Everybody knows that this guy is working for himself. He's there because he wants to get his revenue earlier. He's there because he's getting a significant, let me say, piece of the action. So in that case, that's called doing a daita nafshoi. If he does it a daita nafshoi, he's doing it for himself. So he's not doing it as part of my shlichus. So that's mutter. That's one of the major distinctions that the Shulchan Aruch has between a merchatz and a soda. What about if a person wants to organize his merchatz via a risus? So Shulchan Aruch says you can't do it because Mar Zion. And I take the guy aside and I say to the guy, look, if you're my employee, I can't keep opening Shabbos. So we'll do a different deal. Our deal will be that you get a third of the revenue of all the Shabbos, a third of the revenue of all the Shabbos patrons. So halacha is, I can't do that. Why? Sounds like that's enough shoy. So Shulchan Aruch says, but Mar Zion, everybody knows it's my merchatz, and this is opening Shabbos. And the minhag hamdina is to have the goyim work as schir yoyim. So that's how far we go with the Yisur of Amir Le'akum, even though in this case I'm not near the merchatz. However, since it's my merchatz, and people know it's my merchatz, and they have every reason to assume that that this goy is hired by me, because that's what people usually do, and he's on a salary. So even if I go out of my way to make an arrangement that the goy is working as a bekablonus, not as chiryoim, so Chazal say also because of marasai. And then there's a further machlekes, a step further. What happens if the industry shifts? And if all merchatzois are in our town are run through our visas. In other words, whatever it was, the people running the Merchatzois, they band together, made a union, and they said, no more of this Schir Yom, we're going to be Arisus from now on. Or whatever reason. Or they follow the Starbucks model, every employee is a stakeholder, if it's better, whatever reason. So the industry changes. And now, now almost entirely, that the business changes over, that the Merchatz is run by, through Kablon and Arisus. So Machlekes Neir Yehuda Ramah, whether one still has to, whether it's still Osir. The Ramah says still Osir because Shema Yachzad Dover LeYoshnei. Because we have to be, that's how far the din of Amir Lakum goes. That we have to be afraid that today it makes sense to do it like the Arisos. Today the Starbucks model's in the style. But in 10 years from now, things change. They go back to the old model, right? So, what do they call the Starbucks baristas? All the baristas will have their college, they'll have their college degrees already. So the next door, they're not going to be into this arrangement. So the so Rambam says, ad kereikach. So you still can't run your merchatz even with kablanos. And Yehuda says, ad kereikach. We don't go so far. If the industry changes, Basher Usham. So right now we pask and we will say there's no Mar Zion anymore. Ravosha says that we follow the Ramon in this case. That's usually what we do. He says, however, in Cholomoyed, when can we make Alina Yehuda? So Cholomoyed, and I forget if it was for maybe only for the tzibah, I have to look it up again. But Ravosha says for Cholomoyed, when can we make Al? Get it? And because Hayoi said it's a machlokes and Hirava, he thought that that comes up very frequently. People very often, person's building a house. It happens all the time in the city, and the contractors want to work on Shabbos. They want to rest on Sunday, work on Shabbos. And they often put pressure on the owner to give them the right to work in Shabbos. They put pressure. They say, "If you don't, there's no we can be we can have you in by Pesach unless we work Shabbos." Right? Maybe they're right. I don't know. So first of all, I think there's that this is one has to say one cannot do that. That is the Jewish owner has to instruct his non-Jewish contractor, and they have to in turn instruct all the subcontractors. These are ongoing things. The contractor said, no, I give it out to the subcontractor. Now, so first of all, I think that's, and I've seen this in Sfarim as well, but in Dor Pesachil Hashem, here we have we're keeping Shabbos, and Shabbos, we say, tell all the goyim how important Shabbos is to us. And then we have our construction sites are going full force. Besides, it's not menschlich. They want to sleep late on Shabbos. So we have our guys banging away at 7 o'clock in the morning, and they want to sleep on Shabbos. So number one, it's just not right. And number two, it's, I'm going to formulate it as exactly what it's inappropriate that we, that if our Shabbos is so precious to us, so why are construction sites going in Shabbos? That's maybe in the category of Chil Hashem, I'm not sure. But then, from the Shulchan Aruch's perspective of Kablonos and Arisus, so in this particular case, how are the goyim working? So Lachari said they're working in Kablonos, right? I'm not paying them per day. It's not a Schir Yom. I told the guy, build the house. I'll give you an instruction to build the house. And we'll make payments over time. And the final payment gets done when the house is built, even after the house gets built and it's inspected and gets approved. Now we move in, but you have to give me a product. So and I'm not paying you per day. Shabbos, no Shabbos, you work whenever you want. You want to work 5 days a week, 4 days a week, doesn't matter to me. The deal is get it done. So lechayra, the guy is working at that nafshoy. He's not working as chayyam. But the we would still usher, because any kind of business which at one point in time was done b'tor schir yom, so even if the business changes and is done now b'kavlonos, used to be that I hired a contractor and I may have paid him I instructed him, but when he was supposed to work, he was a schir yom. Now just because the business changes and becomes a kablonis business, the Ramah says we don't pass in that way. Ramah says we follow the Ramah, even if the business plan of this field has changed to become kablonis and not schiras. But I have another aura which I think is accurate, and I have seen it in Svarim recently, that even if you say that the field of construction has become a kablonis business, but it's still entirely current that you ask your contract to work on certain days. I have a plumber, right? I have a problem in my house, so I hire a plumber. So it's true that I hire the plumber to get the job done, but I hire the plumber to come in today to do it. I want him now. I very rarely say, whenever you want to come, you can come. Right? I say, I have a problem, I want it done now. Can't come now, tomorrow. Can't come tomorrow, I'm getting somebody else. So even though I pay him as a kablan, but I hire him b'shlichus. So it's incorrect to say that the whole area of construction has now become a kablanistin. My contractor is going to hire some. He's going to hire plumbers. He's going to hire electricians. He's going to hire a fire alarm guy. He's going to hire a security alarm guy. He's going to hire a granite person. All these people sometimes work total b'kablonis, just get the job done. But sometimes they work as schira yom, not b'tar. I don't pay them for a day. That's very very rare that you pay. You'll always pay a guy for a job. It's very rare. Sometimes also a plumber will sometimes come and he gives your. He gives the cost of his overhead, and then he can charge you per hour, right? That also happens. So the guy's working in my home, building my house. So it's incorrect to say that the whole field has changed to be kablonis. It's true that when I build my house, that's be kablonis. But the field of plumbing, the subcontractor, they work with schira yom very often. In two ways. Number one, they send this charge per hour, and sometimes I will tell them I need you on a certain day. So l'chayra, we're not dealing with the machlekes mechaber and Ramban and Yehuda. We're back in the time of Shulchan Aruch that this is a situation where the field hasn't changed entirely. You could argue, but when you build a house, it's changed. When you build a house, then no one works. You're not told to be there on a certain day. But I'll tell you, it's also not entirely correct, because there are times when it's coming before Yom Tov, before the deadline. So the contractor will tell the subcontractor, you got to be in today. You have to be in today to put the cabinets in, because I can't get the plumber until to put the cabinets in. So there is still an element, even in the construction of homes, where it's done, where you're told to be there on a certain day. So once that's the case, so then the Maris Ayin is still in place. Rabbi Stein, go ahead.
Why is Rebbe equating time constraints of being paid per day? There are two very different things. I mean, even the kablanos in the times of the Gemara, presumably you didn't have your whole lifetime to do it.
Right.
There was some time frame in which the assumption was going to get done, whether it was today, tomorrow, whatever.
Yeah.
It never appears anywhere. I mean, kablanos is generally not defined as open-ended work. It's defined as not being paid for your time, but being paid for a job.
Right.
The assumption is, well, because you can do it whenever you want,
right.
Maybe even throughout the day, but I don't know why kablanos has to be open-ended.
No, it even's not open-ended.
Maybe it even has to be today. But he can do a Matzah Shabbos. Let's say I wanted to come. He could work through the night. He decides to work during the daytime.
Good.
So even if I say I want it done this day,
yeah,
he could come Friday morning on Matzah Shabbos. So the fact that he decides to come, even if there is a time constraint, kablanos is not, I don't know why, just because I need him to come today, that means it's not kablanos. Or
no, I think it's still kablanos, but it's still Osir is still commissioning Malach and Shabbos. If I commission Malach and Shabbos and I pay the Kablanos, it's still Osir.
Yeah, the assumption is he can do whatever he wants. The fact that he comes to, that's why Kablanos is different, because he right. can come whenever he wants. So he could come at 3 in the morning, as far as I care.
Correct.
So even if there is a time constraint, isn't it still, I mean, let's say I need a plumber to do an hour job, right?
Right. 100%.
Right, so
correct.
So, and I want him to come today, not today. So Rebbe's arguing, well, then it's not Kablanos anymore because I'm asking
you. No, it is Kablanos, but it's still not, it's not your day.
I'm asking if it's a shlichus.
On a certain day.
On a certain day, but he could come, let's say I call him Friday at 12 o'clock. He could come right now, or you can't come now. Also, it's still a Dante Denashe.
Correct.
Or he could come on the Shabbos. So I don't know why the fact that it has to be today removes the heather of.
Because the halacha is that if I tell a guy he can do it any time, but the way things are structured, it has to be in Shabbos, right? Let's say it's Friday and it's a 2-day job. So if I tell him I want it done by Sunday, that's the loser,
right?
If it's a 1-hour job, then it's a day, I'm not sure I went to work. But if it's a 2-day job and it's Friday, then talk is also still. So once I ask him to come in Shabbos, then the heter kablanus falls off. So all I'm saying over here is that the issue of Maris Ayin should still be in place. The issue of Maris Ayin still, right. In other words, even though the industry is a kablanus industry, but the reason that kablanus is mutter, that is not intact, and that should be enough to put the Maris Ayin back.
There exist no circumstances where I ask him to come. It's impossible.
Right, and halach lemaisa, I know of situations where the contractor will tell the subcontractor you have to have this done. Right? I want to put the cabinets in on Monday. You have to have it done on Shabbos. I'm not going to work on Sunday. So you see that there is that element still there. I had an interesting shot this morning. I have to figure this out. I have to ask my rebbe that it's a Polish contractor who's hanging around Jews too much. So what happened was that the deal is that he doesn't work in Shabbos. And this Polish contractor has been very, he's been a neman. Doesn't work in Shabbos at all. Doesn't bring his guys to the site in Shabbos Machlal. He made a mistake in the construction. And he admitted he made a mistake. He has to fix it. He made a mistake in how to put the roof in. So he asked the Jewish owner, he says, I made a mistake. I have to fix it. It's entirely me. Can I do it in Shabbos? Because it's my request to do it. They're working for me now. And you're not paying for the fix. So to figure this out, when it's going to be, he's not going to allow you to put a sign up. He made a mistake. He's fixing his own, so it's a little horse on my sign. But on the other hand, he's right. That he's fixing his own problem. So I have to figure that today, tomorrow, after that's my rebbe, is there mokum la'okel over here? Go ahead.
Does it matter if the subcontractor decides that I hired the original employer and then the guy, the subcontractor, chose the schedule. I didn't tell him how to schedule the plumber to come for 2 days. That was a denashe. The guy in between decides to make it the schedule. This guy should go
right.
This day and this guy should go that day.
Right, so, but the truth is I do have control over my contractors, even though they will claim we have no control, but you do have control. So that means you can ultimately, you're saying that the subcontractor is working for the contractor, and therefore, but on the other hand, I have to instruct my contractor not to work in Shabbos. So he has to instruct his employees also not to work in Shabbos. Now, do I have to go over to the construction site every Shabbos and inspect and stop them? No. Do I have to make a machor? Yeah. Yeah. And even Shulchan Aruch discusses what happens if a house was built by Iser. If a goy built a house on Shabbos. So then the Ramad discusses whether it's mutter for me to use the house after it. That's how chomer the din is. So probably in these cases we would unravel some of the chumras, like what you're saying, but that's how chumrah the din is. And again, from the perspective of Chil Hashem, I find it compelling that our construction site should be that in the event that it's not my building, it's owned by a goy. Let's say a non-Jew owns the property, and a non-Jew is doing, and I even have a deal with a non-Jew. So if it's not mine yet, so my rebbeim have said that that's mutter. If I bought the property and everybody knows it's my property, then it becomes osur. But let's say I have to deal with a contractor. He builds to my specifications, and when he finishes building, then I'll buy it from him. So then, apparently, even though I had difficulty with this guy, I thought it's still my sign because everybody thinks it's my property. But when I asked both of Schechter and one of the poskim, everyone quoted, I didn't say what to quote him, he's not known to us, so they both said no. In this case, it was entirely mutter. Go ahead.
Can you say that, I mean, in case of a contractor, let's say they usually don't work Sunday, so if this is a 7-week project,
yeah.
Now he's not going to work. He may want to do Shabbos because otherwise he's going to be delayed 1 week, which means the next project he's going to do for somebody else a week later. So he's really doing it for his own,
yeah,
for his own good. It's like he's his own revenue there. Even if
right. But since it's a Maris Ayin issue, right?
He wants to for his own good.
Right, but I don't think that is overwhelmingly enough of the that's overwhelmingly the case that we can say there's no longer Maris Ayin.
It's not well known that this is the case that usually
No, because it could be that I want it to be done. That's my scan. It could be we don't know whether he's doing it in Shabbos because he wants to finish by a certain time, right? Or he's running three projects. And he could easily spend his time on those other projects. When I tell him not, but he's working on my properties because I told him I got to be a Pesach. So that's why I think that's why it's not enough of a reason. In this case, it doesn't take off the Maris Ayin. Right? It would take off the Etzem Iser if he's doing that in Hashem. It wouldn't take off the Maris Ayin. That's what I think. That is Zayti. These are things which come up very often, and which these are items which are important if you're zochet to have a rabbonus in a suburban area. So it's important to instruct people because these are areas that people lose sight of, because there are situations where there's room to be mekel. We'll discuss those. So and there are situations where the contractor takes advantage. He says, "I'll come. They're not going to stop me, right? Because he has, as you said, he has deadlines. He wants to meet deadlines. So there are situations where, even though the contractor says, 'I've been working for so many Jews, I know you can't instruct me to do it, and I know that you're not going to tell me not to do it.' So these are situations which they end up expanding on their own, and well-meaning people don't know that they should be instructing the contractor not to work on Shabbos. So these are things that the tzana shav between the mir la'akum and the pikuach nefesh. I think the Rav has to remind us balabata pikuach nefesh mamash. That's our opening shir was the magen of Rav. That's the halacha that have to remind balabata pikuach nefesh tefesh Shabbos, and the areas of construction also are. Areas which pick up a life of their own. What about the? So we have a situation we discussed that you have a merchatz, you have a store. So you can't have a person. You have an employee in the store. All right. So let's say, why don't you do the store with kablonos? Because everybody knows stores are not run with kablonos. Stores are run with schirion. So you made it with kablonos, marasai. What about if you? But we just said, what happens? If it doesn't belong to you. It doesn't belong to you. It's a goyish enterprise. So it's not your situation. So why don't you say every Shabbos I'll make it to a non-Jewish enterprise, right? So we'll sell it every Shabbos. A Shabbos Shtar Mechira. So that is something which you find in the Svarim, to have a Shabbos Shtar Mechira, and there are different ways of doing a Shabbos Shtar Mechira. And what I mean by different ways is there are some that are done very by choshev, by gedolim, that it's very done very simply. You sell the entire practice, the entire operation to a non-Jew, and the non-Jew and it's sold over the course of Shabbos, then the entire revenue goes to the non-Jew, because he can't make money in Shabbos. He can't have Schar Shabbos. And then there are more elaborate ways of doing it, that one evaluates what the revenue is of the revenue is in Shabbos, and that becomes part of the salary of the non-Jew. And then one has to be very careful that all other employees know that it's not owned by a Jew in Shabbos. It has to be known. Otherwise, Chil Hashem to have a store open in Shabbos. So there are different grades of doing Shabbos Shtar Mechira. Rechav Etz Chaim was very, very strongly against the Shabbos Shtar Mechira. He writes in Reish Mem Gimel Sif Koton Yud that it describes the Kevan. He's concerned, right? Sorry, Ber Halacha, Siman Reish Mem Vav. That's where he has it. He quotes the Maamar Shaker. He goes back to Rabbi Yosef Goin that it's usur to do a harama with a non-Jew. Sheyim Kolay, you sell his animal, and the guy will be working the animal for the guy for the Jew. But it's really all harama. V'sim al zeh kol advar migayim ve'ein ani raya derech yishara sheyavor la'odam b'zeh. He says he doesn't think it's the right thing to do. He says there are places that are doing it, and Hanach Yisrael, but Kol Bal Nefesh should be careful not to do a Shabbos Shtar Mechira. He quotes the Tzemach Tzedek, the Kadmon, who felt very strongly that it's a Harama and one should do this, and people see it as a trickery, and they see it everything is a Jew working. It's a problem of Maris Ayin. So the Mishnah Berurah feels very strongly that these are not good things to do, and a person should only be reliant on Mishas Adchak, and a person should follow the Pashas Hadin. Rav Moshe Sternbach quotes Svarim that also very strongly against it, and say that at the end of the day, he doesn't think that one sees real bracha, that the business is not so. Situation where the business was not viable when they were selling on Shabbos Shtar Mechira. As I personally, over the years, the situation became more of greater concern in very specific situations, and became my way more by in the recession, when people were having trouble with parnasa, and they didn't have either, and they were trying to find businesses that they could be mitparnes from. And certain businesses require that they are only viable if they have the Shabbos traffic. There are certain franchises which you can only take on if you'll keep it open on Shabbos. There are certain businesses that they can only engage in. So when one has in a culture of affluence, Baruch Hashem, and when people are not struggling, so you can take the Chavetz Chaim's position, no Shabbos Shtar Mechira, and everybody will find a kol yavel mekom v'shalom. In a situation where a person is struggling for a parnasa, or he has a bali tshuva, a person has a bali tshuva, and he's running a business in Shabbos, and that's his parnasa, and he has to be open in Shabbos, otherwise the business is not a viable business plan, and you want to be makar of him, so then those are situations where you have to look at the Shtam Shtam Mechira more seriously and do it if you have to do it, sometimes as a temporary, till the Baal Tshuva is able to get its feet on the ground, able to figure it out, but try to do it in as real a sense as possible, where you follow the rules of a Shutfus. And the Halach of Shutfus, if I'm a Shutfus with a guy, so if I begin the shutfus with the guy, and when I begin the shutfus, I say it's not going to be open in Shabbos, and my partner says I have to open in Shabbos, so then I work it out with him that he gets the revenue of we split the revenue, he gets the revenue of Shabbos through Wednesday, and I get the revenue Wednesday through Friday. So then that's the real deal, that's what Shulchan Aruch says. So start your shutfus that way, and when that's done, so I'm not gaining from Shabbos. The original deal was you get Shabbos Monday, Tuesday, I get Wednesday, Thursday. Then later on we can decide, as long as the sales are trackable, we can decide we're not gonna track the sales, we're gonna just split the revenue. Right? We could go back and work out not to have Schar Shabbos. We're not gonna do it. We can decide to do that, as long as it's accessible. And it's clear to our employees that I will never come after a guy if they don't come up in Shabbos. My partner, he'll come after you if you're not there during the week. So I'll come after you and make sure you're there in time, and I will dock you down if you're not in time. But the employees know, and Shabbos is not my business. So then if it's done openly and publicly and known to the employees, so that, as the Shulchan Aruch describes, doing a business with shutzvus. Again, I had a discussion with Rav Chaim Kohn, head of the Business Institute. So he pointed out that if people would be aware of this din, that when you enter into the business, you can create a shutfus, so then many of the Shabbos issues would be taken care of. The problem is if you enter into the business and you don't realize, then you can bring a shutfus in right away, and you don't construct it around the shutfus, then it becomes very hard to untangle and to unravel. That's very hard. Then the idea, and then it becomes haramis. You sell the business, sell it back to the guy. Then it's not. But if initially you open up and you start with the shidduch right away, so then you can do it in such a way that it follows Shulchan Aruch, that it's not a harama, that people have to be aware of it. They have to be aware initially when they enter the business to ask a shayla right away. How do we enter into this business? The rav may say, not smart. Close it for Shabbos. Better not to have a Shabbos for numerous reasons. But in the event that a business plan requires it to be open in Shabbos, and this is a person's parnasa, he needs the parnasa, so then a rav will be able to construct an approach which is much better, far better, far far better than Eshtar Mechira, which is seen as a rav. So what we accomplished today is the basics of Mir L'Nachri, and then we accomplished the Chomer Hadin, and then we discussed how this plays itself out in situations of Kablonas and of Schiras. That's the very first Siman of Shulchan Aruch, and the Ramon and Yehuda, and then the conversation that revolves around a Shabbos Shtar Mechira. Okay. No, it's different.
I think it's the third one.
It's okay.
They're different kinds.
That's right.
It has one of his
brother. Brother, right? You can do that.
Yeah, he's going to tell us today.
You're right.
We can ask him both.
Exactly. Is everyone going to stay? Red Sox?